You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill for Wednesday the 14th of February. We've got action on Valentine's Day from Lingfield, Musselburgh, Toaster and Wolverhampton in the evening. A veritable treat of horse racing action after just the one meeting on Tuesday at Savile. It's all live on William Hill's Racing Radio from usual from 20 to 2 in the afternoon. And to have a look at some of the races coming up on Wednesday and discuss some of the big issues in racing. As usual here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby, and I'm joined by John Babb. Hello, John, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Yeah, good.
Yes. Yeah, good. First time doing the podcast with you. I think you're one of the last people I haven't done it with, so there you go. So you have that little treat today.
Yeah.
I hope you're looking forward to it very much, and I hope you're looking forward to Wednesday's racing. You've picked out two bets, both at Lingfield.
Yeah.
And where's the first of those?
The first one in the opener, the claiming race, 150. I mean, there's a little bit of a negative vibe for me about a couple of the runs in the race, so always looking at that angle to start with. And one of them, I'm actually working with a fellow who owns it today, Tom Morley, who owns number 3 Decarto. I didn't like to rubbish in front of him, but he was even more negative about the horse than I was. So that was a good starting point. The horse I'm going to go for is number 4 there, Bungee Jump, trained by Kevin Ryan and ridden by Nicola Curry. Got a lovely draw down in stall 1. Most of these all-weather tracks at the moment are riding very well on the inside, even Southall really these days. So got a good draw to attack. The question mark is the trip, but I do think that Nicola Curry is riding exceptionally well. It was another brilliant ride the other night on spare parts at Wolverhampton. I think she can get to the front here ahead of Carousel and Laytown. And I think if she can get her fractions right, I don't see any reason why this horse can't stretch out to a mile in this grade of race. I think been putting in on a very attractive and competitive weight by her trainer, should I say, Kevin Ryan. And she's a winner at the track. She gets the 7 perfectly well, and I think in this grade, a mile will be well within a compass.
She's established herself as a really good apprentice rider, Nicola Curry, especially on all weather surfaces, it seems.
Yeah, because I guess that's a little bit because of when she's really started to come to prominence was in the autumn, I guess, and the type of trainers that were supporting, obviously, like Phil McEntee and Richard Hughes have had much of their success on that sphere. But I don't think... turf racing is going to be a problem to her this summer. I do think she's a very accomplished rider.
Fantastic. So Bungee Jump, your selection in Lingfield's 150, and we stay at the same course for the 420 for the other bet.
Yeah, and it's an incredibly similar theme, really. We're going for another low drawn horse that's going to be likely to, well, if it's not leading, we're in trouble. And it's ridden by a claiming apprentice female rider, Catherine Glenister. This one again actually it's number 4 again. There's something a bit wrong about this, John.
Deja vu.
Number 4, Awesome Alan, showed incredible pace at Wolverhampton last time, running over 7, and to be honest, even inside the final furlong the horse was still battling away at a trip that really struggles to get, but the pace it was showing, I know he's an out and out sprinter, but he's in real good form. And I think dropping back to 6 with this number 2 draw here at Lingfield tomorrow, I can see him having most of these in trouble before halfway. And down this downhill track, I think you'll see Awesome Alan from the front all the way trapped to wire.
Awesome Alan, then, the selection there. Yeah, seems to be a horse who's been tried over a variety of trips recently, gone down to 5 furlongs 2 starts ago, but you think he struggled to see the 7 furlongs out last time?
Yeah, he did quite a bit. I mean, he did amazingly well to only be beaten 2 lengths, because the pace he was going with 4 furlongs to go, I mean, to see horses going trapping like that 4 furlongs out at Wolverhampton, you normally see them capitulate well before the furlong pole, and the whole field will normally swamp them, but not this horse. He stuck it out well to the line and only got beat 2 and a quarter lengths. It was a little bit similar what he was doing in the summer when he was running, or the autumn, should I say, he was running on the grass, running at different distances and getting, but then all of a sudden he's hit form and put two good back-to-back wins together on the turf, on soft ground. And a typical David Evans style, the horse has kept running November, December, January, three runs in January, February, onto its second run now in February. And the horse gradually comes back down the weights, coming back down towards that 60, well, on 63 now. And I think the horse is well capable of winning anything around that 60 to 65 area, given the right race, the right draw, the right distance. And I think that's what we've got today. Tomorrow, depending on when you... if you're listening today, it's tomorrow.
But as we record this, tomorrow.
But if it's Wednesday, it's today, if you're listening. I do think that we've got exactly the right setup of race here for Awesome Alan.
The 4:20 at Lingfield is the race that Awesome Alan runs in. So there are the two selections coming up for Wednesday's action, all on the all-weather. And we stick with flat racing now, John, to discuss something that the Racing Post started reporting on a little bit earlier in the week.
Yeah.
And this is the idea of championship horse racing. So if you haven't heard about this yet, the idea is it's going to be a bit of a Formula One-style thing for flat racing. There'll be 12 teams, each with a corporate sponsor and each with a squad of horses. And over the summer, over eight weeks, in fact, there will be a six race cards once a week, and you accumulate points basically based on your finishing positions in the handicaps, fairly rich handicaps with this corporate backing. And it's certainly different as an idea.
Yeah, it is. How it's going to play out is interesting. Who the teams are going to be, etc. But how the ownership is going to be of the horses, are they going to lease the horses to create the teams? Are they going to buy the horses? I just don't... Because you've also got to get the owners necessarily to buy into this and be willing to have their horses run under this team's banner to get the prize money for the race. It's all early days. I'm all for it in many ways, because I think racing needs something. It's too samey every year. A load of handicaps, some maidens. There's just not enough innovation in our racing. And whether you think this is the right idea or the wrong idea, at least it's a venture into the unknown and something that might capture people's imaginations. And if this isn't quite the right thing, it may well be that it's a little bit of chinking and tinkering with, and it may well be that we find the right answers to moving forward. So I'm not against it, but at the moment it's all a little bit woolly as to how it's going to play out. But it'll be interesting to see whether there's some kind of a sale or auction for this type of horse. It may be that's created at a certain window in the season at the start, so that these people actually buy the horses.
Yeah.
You know, myself as an owner, you might say, well, I'm going to send my horse to this sale and see if they want to buy this. A little bit like an NFL draft.
Yeah.
But you've got to get enough people willing to then sell the horses if that's the case, or it might have to be that they have to lease the horses.
I did a little bit of reading on this when the announcement was made earlier in the week, and I think the implication is at this moment that it will be horses in training with the trainers that are assigned to the teams. The horses will stay in the ownership of their regular owners,
okay,
but will race in the colours of the team that has the corporate sponsor. I think that's the idea.
Right. Now, owners have a little bit reticent with the Shergar Cup, which is a similar basis. Mm. Obviously, you don't get in the colours. The prize money is good for, small field races, 10 runners, etc., on that particular one-off day per year, and the owners get very well looked after for one day, and they'll put up with it for one day. But it just depends how many times if it's a whole summer of handicaps, can you imagine an owner wanting his horse to run in that on that basis throughout the whole of the summer?
Yeah.
And not running his own colours very often, and maybe the campaigning of it is taken away from him and being, run by somebody else. I'm not sure how it's going to quite work out like that if they're not going to actually own the horse lock, stock and barrel.
The interesting thing is, it seems to be in addition to, of course, during the summer, the height of summer, it's quite a busy racing calendar as it is. It seems we've got a Group 1 meeting every week. This is in addition to that. I think the proposition is it'll happen on Thursday evenings. It'll be an additional night of televised ITV action. And that will be in addition to all the racing which happens on
Saturday.
Yeah, but
they're still animals. They can only run so many times.
Yeah.
So if they, it's not, it's okay, this is on Thursday, you can run on Saturday in your own colours. That's not, you know, that's not going to happen, is it? The horses are only really feasibly going to be aimed at so many races per year, particularly at the level of racing they're talking about. At that end of racing, horses are probably only running somewhere between 5 and 9 times a season, I would think. Yeah. They're not running every week like your 0-65 animals are running, you know, getting 20-30 runs a year in.
It's not like at Wolverhampton over the winter running three days in a row.
No, exactly. No, not at all. Well, and obviously with distance as well, you know, some of these races are going to be 1 mile 4, 2 miles, etc. They also, you know, don't run as often as sprinters for obvious reasons.
Well, they're talking about 30 horses per team for only 48 races. So presumably, doing just a bit of basic maths on that, you know, each team is just going to have the one runner per race. That means a lot of horses in these teams, which do seem quite big. You know, 30 times 12 is a big percentage of horses in training. But if they're only running, say, once in the entire competition, then how does that affect the rest of the time while the competition is going on? Can they go off and run at, you know, Yarmouth on a Wednesday or whatever?
Because is there going to be a payment made to assign the horse to the team?
Yeah.
Because if it is going to stay in my ownership, I'm going to want something. So at the start of the season, they're going to say, you know, we'd like horse A, and I'm going to say, well, what's in it for, you know, what's in it for at our end? And to come into the team, they're obviously going to offer you something, which is presumably going to be money. But then if the horse gets injured, not running in a race for them, but running in a race for me, also... And who's going to cover it if it's running in a race for them? There's a lot of things that it won't be simple. This won't.
Yeah,
it won't be simple.
They're talking about launching it as early as next year, which seems a little bit optimistic to me.
Well, I mean, I suppose we haven't. There's a fair way to go, isn't there? Because it's probably something that's not going to start until April/May.
I think maybe even a bit later than that. They were talking about.
They're talking about the height of summer, proper midsummer. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, if people got their act together and got working. It could happen then, but like you say, I think there'll be an awful lot of questions and stumbling blocks that'll hold things up.
It's a bit, not surprising is the wrong term, but it was interesting to see that a lot of Newmarket trainers, including John Gosden, basically came out immediately and said, this is a fantastic idea. I wasn't necessarily expecting that. You know, sometimes the racing fraternity can be a little bit more cautious to warm to new innovations and new ideas.
Yes, but normally when there's a possibility of new money coming in from somewhere else, I'm sure that the people would like the opportunity for that money to be coming here rather than going perhaps, you know, to Dubai.
Because
the chances are, if Britain doesn't take it on, there's a chance that they'll move it somewhere else, won't they?
Yeah,
and go and try it somewhere else. So it would be and given obviously the politics in racing at the moment and finances in racing, it's all a little bit hit and miss and sort of wing and a prayer from one year to the other. You know, one year you're having, oh, it's all good, but then the next year it's all bad. Anything that might just help things along should be embraced rather than pushed away.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see how this turns out over the coming months.
Will be, yeah.
And if it'll get off the ground. And, well, who knows, this time next year or just over a year's time, if this does go ahead, maybe we'll be listening to it live on William Hill's Racing Radio.
And I do think that when they're talking about perhaps a TV slot, and I do think that, because obviously there's been an awful lot spoken about the TV slots and also the not just terrestrial TV, we've been talking a lot about ATR and RUK recently as well, and it seems to be an ongoing thing about what's on what channel. I think rather than just having the Saturday afternoon slot, it may well work better if people knew that, like you just said there, a Thursday evening slot where races were taking part, you know, perhaps between 6:30 and 8:30. On a relatively unusual night for racing, it might capture the imagination a little bit more, and it may well get the viewer numbers up rather than being on a Saturday afternoon when a lot of people are out playing cricket or doing other sport on holiday and just generally doing other things.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, this is
good work.
This is a little bit different to what's being proposed here, but I've long thought if racing wants to broaden its appeal, could it have more fixtures, perhaps flat turf fixtures, floodlit, like what they want to bring in at Chelmsford on a weeknight where there's not much other sport happening. You know, people who want to get in and watch some sport, there might not be any football on or any whatever, they've got a bit of good quality racing to watch.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, but you're right. I mean, going up against Champions League football and things like that is not great.
Yeah.
You've got to try and find the slot. And that slot is generally going to be towards the Thursdays and often Fridays, really. But another one for sport is often the Saturday night, which obviously was ventured into recently with Liverpool against West Bromwich Albion in an FA Cup tie. I don't know what the results of the viewer numbers of that were, but that was a big thing to have a UK Saturday night football. But when you get, I don't know whether you go to football or anything yourself. But I know that when I get home from football on Saturday evening, I often think that the what's on TV is trash.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, that's 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock window. Everybody's just waiting for match of the day or something to come on, or they're out to the pub because there's nothing on. It's dreadful now, Saturday night TV.
There is a definite between football and racing and match of the day dip in quality of my Saturday evenings.
Yeah.
But interesting, this is slightly off topic, but you were saying about them bringing in Saturday night football games. I'm sure I read that now they're auctioning out the next lot of games to Sky and to whoever else. Amazon apparently might want a piece of the action and whatever. Apparently Saturday nights are going to be part of that. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is nothing to do with racing, but it's an interesting point.
It does seem a bit odd that, you can be watching, La Liga or something like that, or, there's always an Italian game on a Saturday night, but for some reason, why in the UK we don't? Yeah, we ask people to travel from Sunderland to Brighton on, a Friday night or a Thursday night or whatever, Monday night, when people are at work.
Yeah.
But on a Saturday night, when obviously there's far less people at work on a Sunday, We don't do it on Saturday night. It's really quite bizarre.
And maybe these gaps, as you were saying, in the week in terms of football and other sport, maybe those are gaps that racing can exploit.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll be interesting to see how this works out. Championship Horse Racing was announced for the first time, the idea of it earlier on in the Racing Post. You can read about it all online, and you can hear, of course, the rest of the season's jump racing action on William Hill's Racing Radio. It's live tomorrow, and it's live for the rest of the season up to the Cheltenham Festival. Hope you can join us, and join us tomorrow on the podcast. John, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.